The opinions expressed by the 1.5 doctors on this podcast are for entertainment purposes only. They are not meant to treat or diagnose. If you have a serious condition, seek medical attention immediately.
Really does depend. I'm gonna take a quick hit of this vape real quick, and then we'll be able to get moving here. Oh shit, I'm already recording. All right, cool.
Dr. Stephen Ogden, Dr. J. Perry.
Clinical muscle starts now. This is Clinical Muscle on Advices Radio Network. I'm your host, Dr. Vijay Puri. Along with me, as always, the star of this production, Dr. Stephen Ogden. Doc, how you doing?
Good morning, my friend.
Bright and early. This is how we do it. This is how we roll in Clinical Muscle. I wish that we could just get, like, we could only, like, set the time for, like, release. Like, you could only listen to Clinical Muscle from, like, 7 in the morning to, like, 9 in the morning, and that's it. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
That would be more appropriate.
It like
yeah.
forces our listeners to like only listen in the morning, you know, because we only record in the morning.
Yeah, they'd have to feel what we feel getting up early to do this.
Yeah. No. Well, truth is, we get up fucking super early anyways. This is
yeah,
like
yeah, we're texting, you know, between me, you, and Scott.
It's like 5 in the morning. 5:30, yeah.
Yeah.
So
and the other night when I was texting Scott, texting you guys about something, I fucking forgot Scott was in California, and I'm like, holy shit, is this, what time am I sending this to him? Is it like 3 o'clock in the morning or whatever it was?
I know, it's so wacky.
Yeah. So yeah, this is a Sunday morning, and we were supposed to record this past week, but my work schedule was all crazy and things are busy for me this day. So guys, if you're noticing the show's coming out a little less frequently, it's not because we don't want to. It's just, man, with the way things are going, Veej, my kids just keep us busy.
That's what kids do, man. You should know that.
between my work and my kids, the practice and the football. My daughter is on varsity cheer now, the Middletown. Last year she was JV, so she didn't really, you know, have to be certain places and things like that. Now, like this, like Friday, they had a game, away game in Pennsylvania, so we had to drive like an hour and a half to watch them, and I had to work yesterday morning, and we didn't get home till like midnight, but they won, so that was good.
That's good.
But Stevie with the football practice every night, and the freaking work schedule's been crazy. So yeah, so we're trying to keep up.
What's with these children, man? Don't they know that you've got podcasts to record? Like, that's a priority, right?
Well, me and Christine talk all the time. You know, we're like, God, if we could only sell them on the black market now. We would be able to move to that ranch in Florida.
Damn right.
Work 2 days a week. See, and sit on the beach all day and drink Mai Tais and protein shakes, you know. We gotta wait till they can take care of themselves.
Now, yeah, see, now you're fucked, because you could have sold them like when they were like age of 5 and less, you know. Yeah. They go for big money in the on the black market. But
yeah,
now they're essentially teenagers now. What are they gonna do with that? They can't brainwash them, enslave them in any way, you know. So
yeah, plus they'll fight back. My daughter will kick them square in the nuts.
They're too feisty in their teens, they're not worth jack shit on the black market.
My daughter would, they'd have a problem with her. She's a little crazy one. But yeah, so anyway.
Is she liking lacrosse or no?
She loved lacrosse. She's going to play. Yeah, she's actually.
Because that should be coming up here, isn't it?
Yeah. She's actually getting ready to play. I think it starts right after football season is about over. Sometime in December, she's playing an indoor league.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, that makes more sense anyways.
You know? Yeah, they're playing an indoor league, and then the season starts, I think, in like March or something. But yeah, she loved it, man. She really, really picked up on that, and she can't wait to play again. So she's going to try this indoor league, because a couple of her friends who, like, their level of play jumped up from 1 year to another, like, a lot.
Mm-hmm, sure.
And I was actually talking to one of the dads, and he said it was because of this indoor league, because I think it's only 5-on-5, and it's you got to be moving
faster. It's a faster game.
Yeah, you got to be able to move. You got to keep up. You know, it's a lot of passing, and so it really helped with her skills. And so she's going to do that. And she's I think that starts in December, something like that. So yeah.
Yeah, you know, we don't even know what day it is, let alone what month anyone's supposed to start anything anymore.
Yeah. I just, when they say they need money for it, I just say okay, God, must be time to do that.
Right.
You know, like, okay. Oh, I need to. And she's doing we had these damn sports, though. They can be expensive. That's the only thing.
They are, dude. They're so my little niece, she's only like I don't know if she might be in like first grade or something like that, or maybe second grade, I'm not sure, but she's involved in so many like extracurricular activities, and they all cost a goddamn fortune. Like, I don't know how parents are doing it today, man. It's crazy.
Oh, she's doing I forgot about that. So she's doing the indoor league, and then she's doing her high school, they're gonna have a competitive travel cheer team. So she's doing that too, and that's, you know, another whatever $100, a couple $100, and they gotta buy more uniforms and then this and that. And then Stevie, BC's killing it. BC's killing it.
BC, big guy.
Yeah. We just paid for him. He's playing in the so our league put together like an elite travel team. And they're doing like a tournament, and he got asked if, you know, he wanted to play because they needed someone to play center, and so he's going to be doing that. That looks cool. They're going to get these really cool uniforms. They're going to play teams from other states, and that's in December too. So you see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Oh, it like snowballs. It's just out of control, like an avalanche, right?
Yeah, these fucking kids, man. They don't realize I'm supposed to be doing podcasts and not working now.
They're supposed to be
me to work more.
Yeah, we're trying to get you on Bodybuilding Nerds Radio more often, and we got Clinical Muscle.
So
it's like
mad.
This is some bullshit, man. You missed like the California episode, you know, Scott. It's like a once in a lifetime opportunity. No good.
I was listening.
Goddamn kids, man. Fucking
yeah. I was listening Friday morning, and I was like, I should be there talking shit with them right now. but no, I had to go to work so I can pay for these damn kids.
Yeah, no, that's how it is. That's how it is. So
At least I only have two. I'm not like a professional athlete who I have 20 or something.
Oh, man.
Like that.
Can you believe like Ronnie Coleman? Ronnie Coleman has like 12. I'm not even joking. I think he's got 11 or 12 kids.
Totally. I mean, I remember I could be completely wrong here, but I think Sean Kemp. Do you remember Sean Kemp, the basketball player?
Yes, absolutely. Yep.
I think he may be in the 20s.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Some crazy number like that. I'm pretty sure he had like a lot of children. Them guys, man. But I guess it's a different situation when your pockets are like, you know.
Well, I hope he invested wisely. He's not playing anymore, is he?
No. Yeah. He's just one of the ones that jumps in. I'm sure there's more, but like more recent guys. But that one just jumps into my head because I remember back in the day, people were talking about how many kids he had, you know?
I wonder how many kids Wilt Chamberlain had.
Probably 100. Just like the points he scored, God rest his soul. And he probably doesn't even, you know,
who knows? It's got to be in the 100, like literally, right?
And
like,
some he maybe not know, maybe never knew about. You never know.
Exactly.
The way these stars are.
Yeah, man. That's crazy. On a biological level, that's phenomenal, though. You know what I mean?
Because
really, our only purpose here is to fucking biologically, at the you know, biological, basic cellular level, our only purpose is to reproduce, you know?
Yeah.
So he's done a bang-up job, Wilt.
Like, no pun intended. Yeah. And that's like I always tell Stevie. I say, look, bro, you're the last one. It ain't if you know.
The line ends with you.
you got to have a boy or else your name is done. Because my brother doesn't have a son. He's got a daughter. So mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that'll be that.
Yeah. My the lineage ends with us too. Like I'm the eldest son. And no kids. I'm completely sterile, so it's not gonna happen anyways. And then my brother, I don't think he's gonna have kids either. You know, my sister has two kids, but that's not the Puri lineage. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. If when the girls get married, their name changes usually.
Yeah.
So
yeah. So it changes. So the lineage ends with us. Like we're a biological failure. It's bad, right?
Your parents, man. Yeah, they're like, God damn it.
Yeah, I really screwed the pooch.
That's funny. I never talked to you about that. How many siblings? What's your family like? How many brothers and sisters do you have? And who's the oldest and stuff like that? I'm the youngest in my family.
You're the youngest?
Yeah, I'm the youngest.
Well, I don't even know.
We're old as fuck.
Yeah, you have one older brother and a sister?
I actually have 7.
Jesus Christ. Wait a second. I think I knew that.
Yeah, but, you know, my dad had 2 marriages, so yeah, like, I got 4 halves and 3 real.
Okay.
3 real.
I do remember that because I remember you talking about packing up the Bonneville, and it was the Bonneville's like a huge, long-ass car, and you stuck 7 kids in there. You guys are taking trips all over.
Go to Florida. So yeah. We went to Florida and got the flat tire. I think we were one of the cars there.
Okay. So yeah,
my oldest sister is like 62.
Wow, man.
Yeah, my dad will be 79 this year. So.
Wow, dude, he started having kids young, right?
15 or 16. Yeah.
Back then, it didn't matter though. You can be 12 and you can start having kids, right?
Put it this way: he was married. Had 4 kids before he was 24 and divorced and married my mom when he was like 26.
Wow, dude, that's so crazy.
And had 4 more. My parents been together. They just had their 50th wedding anniversary a couple weeks ago. You know, I think I talked about that with you. I mean, you know, I probably texted you or told you something about that. Yeah.
You Ogdens are fertile as shit.
Fucking Irish Catholic, man.
Irish Catholic, yeah. That always helps. Contraceptives? No, we don't need any of that.
I don't believe in that. Yet.
That's silly. Ruins the fun. Yep. No, I've got an older sister and a younger brother. I'm a middle child, so
okay.
And yeah. I couldn't look any more different than like really? like as far as bodybuilding genetics go and just genetics in general. I got the lottery between the 3 of us for sure.
Oh, that's good.
Because they're both like taller and skinny. You know, like your typical brown people, right? Tall, yeah. Skinny, thin, no muscle. Yeah.
Typical brown.
The potential to get, you know, fatter for sure, which I actually got that too, but I can control that, luckily.
Yeah, you work to keep it off. Yeah. And then what's funny in my family, I said I have 7 siblings, but usually if you hear me refer to my, I hate to say that, but
yeah,
when I refer to my brothers and sisters, I'm talking about the 4 that I really grew up with.
Hey, when you have 13 siblings, you're going to have a few that you're closer to than others. So I get it.
I mean, three of us grew up in the same household. The other 4 lived with their mom, right. You know, back and forth kind of thing.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, yeah.
But with us 4, me and my, who's not heavy now either, but she's like me. She has to really work for it. My sister Tracy, her and I were like the chubby kids, but my brothers Mark and Kim never were like that. So it's like the 2 youngest were the chubby kids and the 2 oldest were just regular. I never understood. And we didn't do anything different. I mean, I don't know. My brother might have smoked more weed than everyone.
I like him. I think we get along pretty good. Get this. My mom is like, I remember being little and I remember seeing like my mom, she was a nurse, right? And she worked in a unit that was real labor intensive, you know, as far as like moving patients and stuff goes. And this is old school, right? This is like when
they didn't have Hoyer lifts.
Yeah, they didn't have technology, man. Nurses were actually lifting patients and shit back then, you know. And I remember looking at her when I was little. I was just like looking at her traps and her arms, and I'm just like, wow. Those are really big on a lady, you know?
Yeah.
And you know, I become a teenager, I develop, you know, traps and arms first thing, you know, before anything else.
And, so yeah. Mom gave you some of the genes. That's good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I got all my bodybuilding genes are from my mom. And a couple years back, she had a cancer scare, so she doesn't eat she doesn't eat protein anymore. She survived. She's good. But she's before that, you know, she was like she was wanting my help with diet and training. And I was like, well, she doesn't really train. Her joints are terrible from, you know, wear and tear and stuff. But I can put you on a diet. So I put her on a diet. I put her on like a ketogenic type diet, almost Palumbo-ish, you know?
Yeah.
And, man, she was losing body fat like a maniac. I was like, ah, this is where my genes come from.
Yeah, you found that out.
Yeah, she started like, you see the outlines of her traps in her back, you know, and her lats were getting thick, looking thicker, you know. Mom's like 60 years old, you know, developing muscle. I was like, all right, this is good. This is good. Yeah, there's hope for me still.
That's like in our family, I'm talking about me and Chrissy and the kids. Mm-hmm. I'm really glad. So when I met Christine was 5'7", 104 pounds.
Wow, man.
Yeah, super. And dude, she eats like a horse, still does, always has. People would be like, she's anorexic. She her mom was always worried about her. Dude, she just had great metabolism. Eat whatever she wanted, right? And And I was the opposite, you know. I'm the fat. Well, I wasn't fat when she met me, but I was the fat guy my whole life. So I'm glad that I think my kid. Stevie's a big kid, but when I was his age, he's like 155. I probably was already 200 pounds. I mean,
And
I think I'm glad they got like maybe 50-50. So like, you know, Haley's a like a perfect weight girl. She's, you know, but if she's got a like my bone structure, where she got pretty wide. She actually. I wish she would start training, because I think she could be a good figure physique competitor.
Yeah.
She got really wide shoulders, dude. She's really wide on top.
Yeah.
But she's got mom's metabolism like 50-50. So I think it makes her, you know, my kids are, their weight will probably, you know, Stevie's probably always going to be a bigger kid, but never go through what I went through with the real obesity. So I'm glad about that.
Yeah. You picked a good mate, man.
Right.
You can weed out those fat genes, you know?
Yeah. Oh my God, Chris was so skinny and so crazy.
That's wild, man. She's tall. Like that's tall for a lady, and 104 pounds. She must have looked. I mean, she's beautiful, but she must have looked like really thin, like excessively thin.
She was so small, dude. Her shoulders since we've been lifting over the years. Her she's not even big, but her width is like unbelievably different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean, I've seen her contest photos. I've seen her when she's in shape and stuff, and I never would have guessed that she was 104 pounds.
I would say when I met her from right side to left side, let's say a chromium process to a chromium process, I bet she was 6 inches wide.
Wow, man, that's wild. That's crazy.
If you measured with a thing. Yeah, she's a tiny boy.
Yeah. So, man, I've got just the two siblings. I don't have a huge family like yours. And then everybody lives in Toronto now except for me. But we originally were in Ottawa, Canada. That was that's where I grew up there, you know, 19 years of my life there. But
yeah, you went to high school and everything there, right?
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that I was ever getting out, man. I didn't know. I sure as hell didn't predict I would end up in fucking Iowa, of all places, you know, for fucking 11 years. You know, I had a football scholarship, and I had the opportunity to go to some really prestigious colleges, and I was like, nope, I guess I'm going to Iowa, and fucking Palmer College, with a degree that will become useless in 5-6 years.
Well, it's not useless. You met me, and you get to do this podcast.
That's true, and I met my wife, too, you know.
There you go. That's always a little stuff.
Yeah, and I started accumulating dogs at that point, too, so that was a good shift.
Let me ask you this, because I think I bet I know the answer. When you grew up, was your family a pet family, or was your dad the one like my dad who was like, you want a fucking pet? Wait till you move in your own house and you get a goddamn pet. Then you turn into a.
Oh, yeah. No. My dad actually always wanted dogs. It was my mom.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
mine was the opposite.
You know what we got? You know what my mom always said? She was like, I'm allergic. I was like, and I believed that shit, too. You know, I believed that until I was like 19. And then I got my own dog. I had a little a pug. I named him Tang, and like the drink. And she loved him. I was like, we could have bonded even better, you know, over this. But no, you didn't let me have a dog when I was a kid.
My dad was always the one guy. It was always the dad that was like, you know, didn't want any pets, didn't want dogs. And you know, when you get your own place, that's when you have your own place, you get your own dog. So I did, and I had three right off the bat.
That's funny.
I let them piss and shit everywhere.
As soon as
I bought my first house, man, I got within like 2 weeks, I got my first dog.
That's what I did. That's
15 years.
I got my first apartment. It was like maybe a few months, and I was just like, you know what? No, it's pug time. I got to get a pug. Yep. I live by myself. That's what I do.
I got my first boxer in 1996. Her name was Casey, and she was 14 years of asshole.
That's a long time for a boxer, man. 14 years?
Yeah, dude. We didn't think she was ever going to go away, dude. She, by the time we had to put her down because she was just getting old and, you know, she was completely – dude, people would walk past – we were in this house. We were living here when we still had her now. So from 1996 to here, I mean, we had that dog a long-ass time. We had two other ones in between with her. She got so gray and she was so skinny. You would think you didn't feed her. And people would like walk by the yard and look at her like, what in the fuck? They thought she was like a hyena.
You guys, they were like, oh, those are terrible owners in there. We should call the police. dog cruelty.
Our neighbors would be like, Casey's really scary looking. is she okay? We're like, yeah, she's just an old asshole.
Aww.
She's a She eats. Yeah. Whew, she was the bad one. I've had six boxers. That dog will never be out of my mind. She was love to hate her. You know what I mean? She was a freaking.
That's okay, man. You know what? She set the tone for the other boxers. Now all your other boxers are like angels in comparison. See? That's how it worked out.
Now they all seem perfect compared to that one.
My one of our eldest dog here now, Yorkie. He's he's so old. Like he's probably 16 now. And like all he does is like lay in his bed. He's blind as a bat. He's deaf too. He can barely.
Oh, he sounds like he needs medical marijuana.
Yeah, I give him medical marijuana. I'll take him out there with me, and I'll blow smoke in his face, you know, like get him a little stoned, and like he sleeps.
Cataract.
He sleeps the rest of the day. It like decreases his glaucoma, you know.
Yeah, but it's glaucoma. Yeah, glaucoma.
Yeah,
everybody has glaucoma these days.
Yeah, yeah. You better have glaucoma. I do. And he's got no function over his bowels, and he gets. Every night he like diarrhea's on the floor. You know what I mean? Like, it's bad, dude. It's bad. It's bad. It's bad.
That's how Casey. We ended up putting her down.
Yeah, it's getting there. It's getting there.
She was just going to bathroom everywhere. Really, I mean, she couldn't even hold it. It wasn't her fault. You know, she just was old as shit.
You got to think like if you put yourself into their position, you obviously like you're like fuck. I want out. You know, do it. Get rid of me now. You know, I'm done. But like, if I wonder if they think that too, like, you know, like, holy shit, I feel terrible. When is this going to end? You know, cause you could tell he's just arthritic all over. Yep. And I can't make the decision for my wife. This is my wife's dog, you know? So,
yeah,
you know, she's known him longer than she's known me, you know?
Exactly.
So I can't do anything about it. I can feel for the guy. Cause man, I can tell he's suffering. She's like, doesn't want to do it because, you know, it's tough for her, you know?
That's a tough thing to do, to make that decision. You want them to go to like wake you. You want them to like die in their sleep, or
that's what she's
I mean, that's tough to take a dog in there and look them in the face and say, "I love you, goodbye." We've done that. I mean, we've had to do that. So,
it's the worst thing, the worst experience ever. You know, even if you barely like the dog,
yeah.
You know, I was madly in love with my first Mastiff, Seven. And I still probably cry every other day about it. You know, it's like it's been a couple of years now. But, man, that pain just does not go away. You know?
Yeah, it's bad. Rough.
It's rough, man. But
not to change the subject, but to change the subject, this depressing subject. So we're doing this on Sunday. It's a football Sunday. It's our first 2017 season recording on a Sunday.
Jeez, why did we wait so long? We're like six games in now. It's like 6 weeks
in. Yeah, I know. Well, we've been doing Tuesdays.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
because Sundays, I don't know. I've been working a lot for some reason. My schedule's all the weekends. They have me on like all these weekends. I don't know what the fuck. But
yeah, yeah. I like Sundays. Sundays are good. I like Sunday mornings. And then we got the football to look forward to. I got to go train after this too. You know, I got to at least try to train some legs, you know.
Me too. Actually, I think I'm supposed to be on legs too. But I think I'm going to take – I think I'm going to skip legs. Yeah, I know I shouldn't. But
nice.
My left knee has just been – the last couple like week – since I did legs, it's just been throbbing. And I mean, it's just because I'm fucking old. I just think it's telling me take a week off. So I'm going to skip legs this week.
What are you – do you still do cardio daily, or what are you doing for that?
Yeah.
Are you doing a lot of – like a bike or elliptical or something?
No, I just do treadmill. But,
yeah,
you know,
shit.
I always do the – I always do incline, and I wonder if that has something to do with it. I don't know. I don't feel like it does, but I don't know. Like an incline on the treadmill, you know what I mean?
Yeah. What percentage? Like what grade? You know?
I like to vary. I'll do like 5, 8, 10, 5, 8, 10. I do a thing like that. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like several minutes on each.
It might impact it, man. You know?
See, if I don't use the incline, I gotta like on the flat, I gotta like almost do sprints to get my heart rate up, because I guess I've been doing this so long. You gotta really, you know what I mean? Well, the incline, you know, it makes it a little bit sort of easier to get out of breath. You know,
what do you keep your heart rate at? What do you try to target?
Oh, I don't know. Honestly, I go to, like I said, till I'm panting. I would say it's probably in the 120s, 130s. Yeah. I never really check it though. And my thing does have a heart rate monitor. I don't trust anything.
I don't know that I trust it either, man. It's pretty wacky, those things, you know?
Yeah, you're moving around. Listen, when you come in a doctor's office and they put this thing on your finger called a pulse oximeter, that measures our our blood saturation of oxygen. It also measures your pulse. And I'm sure the technology is kind of similar to these things where you put your hands on them. And it's probably just looking at the flush of light sort of changes or whatever in your, you know, that's what a pulse oximeter does. It looks at the changes in red light coming in and out of your capillaries. Them things are so sensitive to movement.
Ah, like, yeah.
If you just have a slight tremor in your finger, it's not going to be accurate. And if the nurse documents it, chances are it's probably inaccurate.
If you're walking at 4 miles an hour,
exactly, that them things can be very accurate. Now, I don't know about like the chest kind, the kind you would strap around your, I'm not going to get into all that, but I would say it's probably in the 120s at my age, 130, you know what I mean? Yeah. And cause I get to like a little, as long as I feel a warm sweat, that's, I think I'm good. Like, yeah. I don't have to be dripping.
No. But, not fasted anyways. Not hopefully, you know. Not when you're fasted anyways.
Exactly. No, I just get it till like you know, to where you could have some conversational dyspnea, basically. Like if someone was in a room, I'd be having trouble talking, but not completely. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you could. Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah. I don't go that fast, man. I mean, I try to keep my heart. Like I'll use the electrical impedance to check my heart rate or whatever. But I'll also stop and actually do an actual pulse check, which is a lot more accurate. But I usually get within 5 to 10 points, you know, of what the monitor says. So I like to keep it right around 125 or so, 130 ish. But even then, I'm not really panting a bunch. I might have a light sweat, you know.
That's perfect. That's kind of where I'm at. Yeah, light. But my Eagles, man, they're on fire.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. My Lions are not actually doing as bad as what their record is showing, because they're always coming back in that last like fourth quarter, you know. They're coming back and they try to mount a win, and they look like they're gonna do it, man. They've done it 3 games in a row, and then they lost and lost again. But each time they were mounting a comeback to be able to win. So they're playing pretty well, you know, mostly. Yeah.
I think they're 3-3, and the thing with their division just is good for them.
Yeah,
is that Minnesota and Green Bay have some terrible injuries. I mean, their quarterbacks Green Bay, Aaron Rodgers went down. That's a huge problem.
Loss.
For them.
That's a huge loss. Are you kidding?
Yeah, and then Minnesota's got, you know, I forget who's playing quarterback. Bradford's out, and then maybe what's his name is going to come back soon, but. So they're right in the thick of things. I think they're like 3-3. They're right in the thick of things.
Yeah.
But, after Kansas City lost the other night and put the Eagles at best record in the NFL, and I'm an Eagles fan, so I'm just going to play games how they go. I mean, you know, I think even one of the Eagles recently said this. He's like, you know what? I'm not going to get too excited. We could lose the next 9 games. You know? You never know.
You really don't, man. You could be a great team, but it's just, man, any given Sunday, it can happen, you know?
I mean, last year the Eagles started off 3-0, and then, you know, it was all downhill after that. That's so right. I don't know.
The Lions started out 3-0, too. Just so, not, you know. But they're a tough team. They're not a fucking walkover team, you know? Yeah.
They're going to be all right, especially in that
division. A lot of weapons. They're going to do fine. As long as the guys stay injury free. It's crazy the amount of injuries. I wonder, like, what is going on in the conditioning camps, like the pre-training or like the pre-season training camps, you know, like I don't know if it's an issue, like they're working them too hard or they're not working them hard enough. Like I have a feeling it's working them not hard enough.
Yeah, I think that's it too. Some of these teams don't even tackle in practice anymore.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't think the Eagles tackle at all week. I mean, I could be wrong, but I don't think they do. I think it's just drills and running plays and things like that. I could be wrong, but
I've seen more injuries this season so far than I have in the entire time I've watched football over the last 20, 25 years. It's crazy. It's a lot of injuries.
And you couple that with the just, I mean these guys are freak athletes, man. Strong. They're like Mack trucks hitting you. These dudes, solid muscle. I mean, the speed, it's just the collisions are nasty.
Yeah.
And they're just getting, every year you get stronger and better and better.
Faster. I'm talking about. Yeah.
As generations go by, I mean, the dudes are like, you know, you got guys like James Harrison. I'm sure when he hits you, it feels like it's got to feel like you got hit by a car.
I mean, I couldn't imagine. That would feel so terrible.
I'd rather get shot
or hung or something, you know.
So I think the combination of maybe – being conservative in practice because they have to, because they don't want to get people hurt in practice. And then you go out in the field and you're going against these freaks. You know what I mean?
It's a catch 22, because if you don't prepare, like they're like we train every day, you know, we train, we build muscle. We dig ourselves into a hole so that we tear down the muscle, repair it, and we get stronger from doing that. The muscles get stronger. It's kind of the same concept, man. If you get tackled over and over and over again, you develop, like a callusing almost in the muscle bellies and things, you know? So mm-hmm. it's a protection issue. And these guys, they've got state-of-the-art helmets now and state-of-the-art pads, and they're so fast and they're getting stronger. Like you said, they're stronger and faster every year. And they're not preparing for these hits in the off season. You know, it's crazy, man. And now they're looking, everyone's just falling apart first six games of the season.
And I'm still not convinced. And I know people get popped all the time, but I'm sure there's tons of guys in the NFL who are using PEDs.
Oh, for
and
sure.
They're just super smart at getting around it, where the other guys who get caught
are an idiot. Yeah.
They're getting bad advice or something. I mean, you know, and then it's like you got guys getting caught multiple times. You got to take a look, but you look at some of them guys and it's like, yeah, okay, you got these freak genetics really. But then you go, but come on, dude, you're 3% body fat all year long. You got abs, your shoulders are like pumpkins, and you run a 2:8 40 yard dash.
Yeah.
I mean, you gotta be like,
some of them are probably honestly just freaks. They're just those.
Yeah, there are a lot
just,
of them. But
just the, just I black know. Guys that are blessed. You know what I mean?
I didn't want to say that.
Yeah, but that's the truth of it, though. It really
is.
Yeah,
you got guys who just look at him, you're like, Jesus Christ, look at this kid, man. He's like fucking shredded. Like, you could take your clothes off and be a bodybuilder, and you're playing safety. You know what I mean? Like, you wouldn't be.
I was at the bodybuilding show yesterday supporting my good friend Bill War Room Nutrition Toco.
Oh yeah, I saw him and Tommy.
And him and Tommy, both. By the way, both looked phenomenal. They just nailed every aspect of this prep, and they nailed it on show day. They looked phenomenal, just fantastic. But there was this one black kid. He was a middleweight, and I saw him. I saw a shadow of him backstage. And I could not take my eyes off of him. And it was just a shadow. And I was like, wow, this guy back here, he's just captivating my eyes. That's dangerous as fuck. I was like, I want to see what he looks like on stage. He comes out on stage in the middleweights, and it's lights out. He basically looks like he's got like the same structure as a Flex Wheeler in his heyday, you know? Yeah. And I come to find out that he's like natty. He's a natty guy. And he's a middleweight, you know, he beautiful structure, beautiful muscle bellies, just his posing, not good, because you could tell he's just now starting
wrong.
To get just terrible posing, you know, but even with the terrible posing, he's just got this retarded structure, muscle bellies just flowing. He is what bodybuilding is. You know what I mean? Like,
I
look at this guy, I'm like, this guy's going to turn pro when he figures out how to use gear. Because he's a natty guy. And I looked at him, I was like, this guy is just gifted beyond, he's born to do this. And as good as Bill and Tommy were, this guy walked away with the overall yesterday.
Really?
Yeah, man. The middleweight walked away with the overall because he's just so blessed. He's just gifted, you know? And as hard as Bill was, Bill had craziest hamstring. I was convinced after seeing Bill that there's nobody going to beat him. I mean, just if you just take, just the judging criteria alone, muscle size, hardness, shape, structure, Bill really shouldn't have lost. I mean, but, you know, I wasn't there for the night show to see the overall. And you don't know, standing next to a guy like that, he can really expose any of your weaknesses, you know?
But that's
a natural guy. That's a natural competitor, man, you know?
You know what's funny?
In the NFL, it's not any different, you know?
Yeah, no, you're right. You know what? Now that you say that, it's funny how you see, like, okay, so I'll be walking around even the Little League football field with my son. And I see some of the kids that are about his age or that the group above him, which is the 13-14, where he'll be next year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I see some of these kids and I look at him and I'm like, that kid hasn't even lifted weights yet.
And
they're walking around with their shirts off and I'm like, and he looks like that. That's just ignorant. You know what I mean? Like
I was at a I was at the Wisconsin Dells. I think it was Wisconsin Dells, like I don't know, maybe 15 fucking years ago or something. And I saw this little black kid running around, and little kid was shredded, man. I was in good shape. I was in good shape at the time, and I was like, I felt threatened by this little 4-year-old. I was like, holy shit.
This kid's
leaner than I am, and he's got better structure than me and better looking muscle bellies. And he's only like, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 years old. It was so crazy to me.
Yeah, it's funny. You can see like, you'll see the lines in their delt already cut in there.
Yeah, man.
And abs.
Huge and shredded abs. The width
of their shoulder, the back, the upper back is wide and the waist is small. You're like, the fuck?
Dude, he had erector spinae at his fucking age at 5 years old. Okay. And he had like, he was bending over to tie his shoes and he had a Christmas tree in his low back. I'm just like,
exactly what you're talking about. I see it all the time with these football games. The ones in high school too,
God.
Oh, you know what? We're talking about bodybuilding too. So shout out to our buddy Scott. We won't get into it too much, but he made his pictures, man.
He looked great.
Well, I know you guys are going to talk about this on BNR or sooner, I'm sure, but he did 4 weeks, man. He, from the last show to this show, he looked freaking awesome.
Yeah, it was a night and day thing for him.
Yeah, no doubt.
And having Shelby in his corner is obviously the kind of the game changer, because when you coach yourself at that level, it's really quite difficult. I mean, even Shelby, who is one of the greatest coaches on earth right now, he has his own coach. You know what I mean? Dave Palumbo looks after him. So it's like even I don't care how good of a coach you are, man. You need those other eyes on you, because you don't have that critical eye. You have a different mindset. You're as a competitor, you're just gonna grind shit out until you feel terrible, and the mentality isn't there. When in reality, you probably need to pull back on certain things, or you need to stop doing this. You need a completely objective eye watching
and
you.
And if you look good, you'll second guess yourself and not think you do.
Exactly, and you'll
which works against you too.
Yeah, yeah. So
he started doing crazy shit.
Yeah. So really came together, and he looked as good as I've ever seen him. So
yeah. I'm sure he'll be talking about that this week. But I just want to say, he looked awesome. Congrats, proud of you, bro.
Yeah,
so,
definitely.
I'm sure he's going to talk about that and how his whole. I'm looking forward to the. Looking forward to some of the videos. I'm hoping we'll see all the extravaganzas he does, and after things he visits and does in the gym stuff, and
I bet he's got hours of footage of just stuff. Already he's that kind of guy. He has his GoPro on like all the time.
Should just tape it to his forehead. Like
that's probably what he did.
Physical lights.
Yeah, right. Or like a miner's helmet. Yeah.
That's what I was thinking about, a miner's helmet.
Hey Doc, we're going too long. We got to answer some questions here.
I have talked to you, but I mean on this show.
I know. That's why we have to do weekly. Otherwise, we end up bullshitting for way 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 too long when we have all these questions to answer. And we do thank everyone for sending in questions to clinicalmuscle@gmail.com. But if you can, and you can remain pretty anonymous on the boards, forum.advicesradio.com. Get on there. There's a sticky under bodybuilding talk, for clinical muscle. You can post away, man. We've got so many questions. We're real deep in the questions right now. And so,
And if you ask the question and don't hear it, maybe post it back down the bottom of the forum again. Cause
give it a bump.
We're getting deep, and it's like, oh, which one did we answer? Which one did we forget? Yeah. And so we apologize for that in advance. We're trying to do the best we can. It's all C grade here, guys. So, you can't.
Even the effort is going to be C grade. So you really need to be on your ball with the posting and stuff, because we'll forget. We can't help it. There's 30% of our brains are missing.
Yep.
So let's get these some of these email ones done, because we try not to we try to go to the boards for all these ones, right? But I think these ones kind of got left behind, So let's tackle some of these questions here. This one's for you, Doc Ogden. Sorry to be a pain in the ass and email you instead of posting this on the Vices Radio forum. Maybe I'm just paranoid, but I'd prefer to just email you blood work rather than post it on the forum. So he sent his blood work. You get a look at that, Doc?
Yeah.
Okay. A little bit of a background info here. He's a male, non-competitive bodybuilder. Reason for the low testosterone is I'm on doctor-prescribed TRT and currently transitioning to a new doctor. I had been injecting 50 milligrams two times per week, so 100 milligrams per week, but waited about 1.5 weeks after my last shot of 50 milligrams just to make sure the numbers didn't come back high the first time my new doc saw them. Anyway, as you can see from the labs, I have several values out of range. I'm not too worried about BUN and creatinine, as I know those can be elevated from training, but MCH, MCHC, and RDW are a bit of a concern to me. Alkaline phosphatase is also a concern for me. Do you have any insights on these values to be out of range and how to proceed? It looks like also, you know, he has LDL and HDLs. They don't look bad to me, Doc. I mean, they just, you know, maybe slightly out of range, but I wouldn't really bat an eye at those.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. And then, so I guess, yeah,
cholesterol looks pretty decent.
Yeah. He just, I guess his question is really
regarding the blood count stuff.
The values that are slightly out of range, really, you know?
Yeah. So, I mean, he mentioned his BUN creatinine. I would agree. They're not terrible. I don't know how big he is. I don't know if he said it, but you know, his creatinine was a little bit high, 1.35. So, you know, like he mentioned himself, that's likely from training and things like that. Just something to keep mindful and keep an eye on. And if you're muscular and you're over 200 and some pounds, you're probably, you know, that's probably a normal thing. Mm-hmm. I see those kind of numbers routinely on muscular guys. So long story short, he wasn't worried about that either. So he was worried about these indices, these blood count indices, and they're the MCH, MCV, RDW. To make a long story short about these sort of numbers, when do we get worried? So he's worried about them. So when to get worried about them? I would say you get worried about them when you also see a trend in your hemoglobin or hematocrit going either way.
Yeah.
So, you know, right now his hemoglobin and hematocrit are perfectly normal, and his numbers, his indices are just – I mean, when they're the low ones are just barely low and the high one is just barely high. So these things could fluctuate on a daily basis. It could be nutritional. But if you're concerned about it, I mean, most of these things give us an idea of the size, the volume, the shape of the blood cell. I'm not going to go into each of them. You know, you could easily look them up. MCH, MCV, RDW. And they give us an idea of what kind of anemia someone may have in the face of anemia, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So he doesn't have any. He's not anemic. His hemoglobin's almost 13. Hematocrit's 41.6. So first off the bat, I wouldn't worry yourself about that. But to give you some things to maybe possibly add to your next blood panel, you know, this could be an indication of an early iron problem, like an iron deficiency.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could be using up your stores enough to affect the blood cell a little bit, but not drop your count. So you might want to throw iron on your next lab, serum iron, ferritin, TIBC. They're all called iron. You know, that's iron studies, serum iron, ferritin, TIBC. And then if you wanted to be really thorough. And then on the other side, you got other types of anemias. The big ones we look for would be B12 and folic acid. A little different, but you could throw them in there too. And see if there's anything out of whack. Probably not. And if it's not, I bet your next blood work, these things all change. They may be high, they may be a little low, but to me, I would like, if you were my patient in the office and I looked at your labs, I would scroll right past that. I would look at the hemoglobin, hematocrit, look at the next, yeah, I'm not worried about that, blah, blah, blah. And so personally, I think you're good. But the things you might want to look at would be like an iron panel, you know, and maybe a B12 and folic acid, just to make sure nothing weird's going on. Other than that, man, I wouldn't bat an eye at that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Was there another issue he was worried about? I think that was the main ones. Yeah. Oh.
LDLs, HDLs.
He mentioned alkaline phosphatase.
Alkaline phosphatase,
too, yep. Right?
Yeah.
Does
liver enzymes? They look fine to me, too.
I can't find it. But so alkaline phosphatase is really nonspecific. It could be an indication of one, you know, in the right setting with liver enzyme issues going on too. It could be an indication of like a duct problem, like a bile duct or,
right. Yeah,
or
yeah.
You know, some duct issues in your liver. But also it also is released from bone. And so if you're training, you got some new bone growth turnover, you could get a little elevation from that. But as long as your liver enzymes and everything is completely normal. I wouldn't be concerned about that either, as long as all the other numbers. Well, why am I not seeing that? Is it on another page?
Yeah, no, it's at the very top of the he's pulling a value of 32 in a range of 39 to 117. So it's slightly off.
So here's a good thing. So it's 32. So here's the good thing. I'm having trouble finding it on my phone here, but his alk phos is actually low. We would be more concerned if it was high.
Right.
So I wouldn't sweat that at all.
In addition, his bilirubin looks fine. GGT is not on here, I don't think, but that would be your prime concern for liver issues, you know?
Yeah.
I wouldn't sweat it. Yeah, I wouldn't sweat
it. Overall, look pretty decent, I think.
Good deal. Good deal, Doc. All right, so this next one, I'm going to have to summarize. This next one is there's a lot of information. Which is cool. It's fine because it helps us kind of get to the bottom of the issue. But I'm going to have to kind of summarize this because it is fucking long and there's blood work with it too, you know? But for the sake of time, I will just go ahead and say we have a listener. Thank you for the question, by the way. He's been cycling for, you know, probably about, it looks like 4 years. He's 5'8", 180 pounds, roughly 9 to 10% body fat. He started off having no estrogen issues or anything, you know, when he first started cycling. He's 43, by the way. A couple years ago, I guess he took a cycle and he crashed his E2, his estrogen. And basically ever since, he's had one hell of a time cycling and keeping an estrogen under control. And, you know, he mentioned cycles of, 500 milligrams of test, 500 milligrams with 500 milligrams of Masteron, and then using what looks to be quite a bit of aromatase inhibitors, you know, trying to manage his E2. He's done cycles like, that have, you know, 250 milligrams of testosterone, 350 milligrams of equipoise, and 250 milligrams of Masteron. Again, you know, while using like D-ball and that sort of thing. A lot of aromatizers, really. And so he's having a lot of trouble with it. The main thing here is that his main question is, what would cause someone to go from normal aromatizer to a hyper aromatizer? Are there other factors like DHT and progesterone that could impact this? He says, I have only tested prolactin, which has remained in check. Even if I've used DECA in addition to tests, et cetera. He has his blood work here, Doc. You're looking at his ranges, and he's got quite a bit. Yeah, he's got some lots of stuff going on, lots of he's a numbers junkie, you know, which is fine. But, I wouldn't put too much stock into all your stock into just numbers. Reason being is you don't have, you know, you only have E2 tested here, test and free test. What about all the other hormones? You know, you have a cascade of hormones. The hormones are kind of like the endocrine system in itself is like its own entity.
Yeah,
like, and it for sure. It works in a cascade series involving all hormones altogether. Testosterone just isn't working by itself. Testosterone is fueled on by luteinizing hormone, follicle stimulating hormone, thyroid even, you know. These things are all intertwined. So when you're only testing like four different issue, you know, sex hormone binding globulin test, E2, that's it. You know, you're getting a very small piece of the puzzle. From what he's telling me and his estrogen issues from his cycles and the stuff that he's doing, either one, estrogen is actually not the culprit here. Aromatization is not the culprit here, or he is simply not like he's using oral aromacin or orals. I think he needs to look at his gut health real bad because I don't think he's absorbing these medications in the oral form.
One of the things that stood out to me was his dosing of his AI. Mm-hmm. So, because aromacin at 60 milligrams, that's an odd dose. Mm-hmm. I mean, so I got to think maybe he's using a research chemical or he's been, because aromacin, prescription or pharmaceutical grade would be more along the lines of a 25 milligram form where you would do 12 and a half, 25, 75, I guess if you're going to ever go that high.
Yeah, shit.
So then it makes me question whether the material, the quote, medications he's using are actually real.
Yeah, you know,
if the dosing is, you know, standardized. Mm. In other words, you know, he's saying he's taking 60, but what did he really? Because some of his numbers are just all. So this one, for instance, his free test, and it doesn't say what he was taking this day. His free testosterone on this long range of
– like 5,000 or something.
I'm just going to pick one out. Yeah. He's got one here. His free test was 3,969.
Yeah.
And his E2 was less than 37, mm-hmm. right? It was 37. On a very similar number, let's go to like – it was 4,304. His estrogen was 68. And on 5,000, it was 300. So – And so to me, it just seems like something's fishy with his dosing. In other words, it's inconsistent with the efficacy. So, you know,
the trend, the trend is fucking wacky. Yeah.
So I would think along the lines of what you said is we need to get a complete lab workup with all your hormones, see what they're all doing, including thyroid, gut health, things like that. But also you need to maybe talk to your doctor or whatever you're doing about maybe getting a prescription, unless, okay, so I'm talking from the US only. I don't know what the companies make prescription in, you know, other countries, but Aromasin usually I think comes in 25 milligrams,
okay.
You know, it's 12.5.
Doc, he does say here, for completeness sake, I tried different brand of Aromasin to see if the brand I was using was simply underdosed. Although previously, that UGL brand in my country, South Africa, has been reliable, and the results were the same, is what he says.
Okay. I think that may be his issue. Maybe he needs to try. Because we even know with prescription medications that are generic, there's going to be a leeway there.
Yeah, sure.
The other thing is, too, is that, I mean, his numbers do go up almost – although they're a little bit all over the place, his numbers do go up directly with his testosterone. I mean, the more he's taking, the more he's converting. So he may be one of these guys that needs to run really low doses.
You know, but here's the thing, though. He's using several compounds at the same time, and he's using a lot of DHT-heavy compounds, the Mastron. Right. You know, Equipoise is just a strong androgen.
Right.
D-ball, heavily aromatized. But here's the problem. Look. You got to get a complete hormonal panel done because people are all different. And I've seen DHTs raise the shit out of estrogen and raise the shit out of progesterone. Hey, me, personally, my progesterone goes way through the roof from DHT meds.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense, but I remember you told me that before. Yeah.
And I've seen it in females. Females that use DHT, some of them, like Var or Winnie, can jack up estrogen like you wouldn't believe, man. And progesterone. So these things you got to have a grand picture going on just to figure it out, because right now you're kind of shooting in the dark. You just don't have enough information. And also gut health. That's another thing. If your body's not absorbing some of these things, and I get this because one of our listeners he's kind of a rare case, but he didn't respond to any oral, and this is prescription stuff. He didn't respond to any oral aromatase inhibitors, but he did respond to injectable aromatase inhibitors, which were. So that could very well be an issue too, you know? So
yeah.
Unfortunately, you can only get that from a compounding pharmacy nowadays, but
yeah, and I know some of them even mix them together with your test, right?
That's yes, exactly. My prescription has has that in it. Yeah, injectable Arimidex. So
yeah. So the one more thing I'd just say is he obviously gets blood work done. He likes to get this done a lot, so that's fine. But the other thing I'd say is, this might sound terrible, but you know, he doesn't mention if he's actually having any symptoms with those estrogen levels.
No, all he says is libido, exhaustion.
Oh, he did say that. I'm sorry. The information was long, so yeah. I kind of got lost there. Yeah.
He says I've never had any gyno symptoms, but that's not like an every case thing. That's right. Very very possible. Losing body fat has become a really really tough with that. But yeah, I don't know. We can only take that at face value. I don't know what his diet's like. I don't know what his training's like. I don't know what his, you know, I don't know what cardio's like, you know. So that I can't say just because of that that's an E2 issue. It can be several issues, you know. So, yep. So yeah, I don't know. I guess I don't have a solid answer, but I would say that you need a grand hormonal panel just to see what the hell else is going on that could be doing this to you, or just, you know, just watch, just cut out all that shit, man. Just use a testosterone, just testosterone, and manage your E2 with just your testosterone. Because I just think I have a really good feeling, actually, that, you know, the inclusion of all the other anabolics that he's using is his body just don't like it, man. Sometimes that happens. Your body just doesn't like it, and your system will go haywire, just like when your progesterone goes fucking nuts or your estrogen goes nuts on things that typically it shouldn't, like Masteron or EQ. You know, I've dealt with those same issues, so I know that personally.
That sounds like a good answer to me.
Yep. Just start there, man.
Hey guys, Scott McNally here.
And this is VJ Peary.
You guys know us from here at the Advices Radio Network. Well, we also have another show, Bodybuilding Nerds Radio. We've got everything from supplement reviews
to shout outs,
listener questions,
and of course, our weekly bodybuilding podcast reviews.
So check us out every Friday.
Or whenever you feel like cooking or doing your cardio or basically wasting time with us.
You can hear us at bodybuildingnerds.com.
Also on iTunes. Bodybuilding Nerds, it's time to get nerdy. We got another question. Last one here from the emails, and we'll jump into the board questions, Doc. Docs, 1.98 Docs. Hey, I like this trend. I'm a big fan of you and all of your shows. I started listening about 8 months ago and can't get enough. Very cool. I have a question that may not be appropriate for clinical muscle, but I promise I'd ask. My mother, age 64, has spinal degeneration and is in pretty constant pain. She tries to avoid taking opioid painkillers, but her doctor gives them out like candy. I was telling her recently about you and how you found relief from your back. Oh, this is for me.
That's got to be for you.
I was recently telling her.
Disclaimer here, folks. Dr. Rockin does not use marijuana or have a medical marijuana card, okay?
not yet, anyways.
not until I retire, maybe.
Just you wait till Delaware goes legal, man. Just you wait. You'll see. Yeah, I know. And he says, and how you've found relief from your back pain using oral cannabis. She was intrigued by the concept and is willing to try just about anything as long as she doesn't have to smoke it. Anyway, we live in the
This is directly for you.
This
DJ.
Is for me. Yeah, this is for me. So this listener lives in Woodhaven, Michigan. So he's in my backyard, pretty much. He's in the Metro Detroit area. He says, wonder if you've had a doctor recommend oral prescription. Okay, so. The only one that I can recommend is the fellow that I saw, which is Dr. Hertzberg here in Novi, Michigan. He's a great doctor. I can't say that about a lot of doctors. Dr. Ogden is a great doctor. Dr. Hertzberg is a great doctor. I would trust him completely. And I got my prescription through him. You can use a lot of the oral. In fact, the oral medication, oral cannabis is a great way to get off fucking opioids too, because, you know, I think they stimulate some of the same receptors, all the while weaning yourself off of those opioids. Oral cannabis is great, man. I think as far as she's getting strains that are very heavily CBD oriented, but have some THC content like a Charlotte's Web or something, or Canatonic, those type strains, they're going to be real helpful for your mom. Like, real helpful, man. That's what a lot of this oral cannabis is for in these last 4 years, bone pain, muscle pains, those sort of thing, joint pains. So I think she'll find a lot of relief from that. You'll have to play with her dosage, because she can get pretty fucked up on a lot of a lot of oral cannabis. You got to watch your dosage and play with it. Start very low. Also, vape. Vape is an idea that you can do. If she doesn't want to smoke it, I don't enjoy smoking it. It's fun sometimes, but I'd rather vape, because, you know, you stink. If, you know, smoking it, smoke in general is probably just not good for you.
Yeah, I would agree.
I don't know. Vape may not be good for you either. You know, vape has an alcohol content. You know,
the jury is out on that. Even for nicotine, even for cigarettes, you know, for smoking cessation, we're still. But it's. I'm starting to read more and more things where they're kind of like starting to say, "Hey, maybe we should tell people to do that instead of cigarettes." But we're not 100% sure yet. But anyway, yeah. So one real quick thing that has nothing to do. So that was totally for you. So. There's Veej's advice. I don't have anything to add to that. I don't live in Michigan, and frankly, I wouldn't know anyway. But about this opioid pain problem we have, the medication. So I was reading something on Facebook, and it kind of pissed me off a little bit. And basically, what it was a bitch group about how horrible doctors are with the pain medications, and we're just killing people. We're doing it. You know, we'll just give you whatever you want, and it's all the problem of the doctors. Listen, folks, it's not the problem of the doctors, too. We all have responsibility in this. If people, you know, here's what happens a lot of times. People that and who gets screwed in this really is those that have serious medical pain. That's who gets screwed in this, because then you get a guy like me who doesn't prescribe it at all because I'm super paranoid that I don't want, you know, to lose my license, you know, where really I was just trying to help someone. So I think. I was reading this thing and it was just totally bashing doctors. We're doing it on purpose. We want to get people hooked. And you know what? I'm sure there's horrible doctors. And he mentioned his mom's doctor sounds like he gives them out like candy. And that's terrible too. I mean, but every day I have people come in who I know are 100% faking me. They're 100. I can tell there's tests like, you know, every day, you know, back pain, I got dental pain, I got, you know, and you're looking at them and their heart rate's normal, their blood pressure's normal, they're sitting in a chair as calm as can be. Someone who's in 10 out of 10 pain doesn't look like that. Mm-hmm. And my point is, we got bad doctors out there who will do anything for money. We also have bad patients out there who will do anything to get some drugs. And I don't know if there's a good solution to this, except I will say this. I do think medical marijuana is a decent solution to a lot of it for those that are truly in pain. I think it's a good alternative. There's no addiction as bad as opiates, man. It's terrible.
Yeah, really.
And you know, you do have people that become addicted, but you also have those that have an illness, you know, that addiction's an illness. You know, I mean, they just can't stop. You know, no matter what they do, they fall back into it. So it's a sad. I guess my point is, I think a lot of everyone has a little bit to do. Pharmacies, the government, doctors who are good or doctors who are bad, patients who are deceiving people.
Yeah.
And who suffers is people who have pain, really. I mean, it's true. The people who suffer are the ones who are for real, and you can't. You got this. A guy like me always has that in the back of my mind because I've been bitten so many times, like by people faking me out. And then I get the call from the pharmacy that says, "Do you know this guy just filled this 7 times this month?"
Oh, jeez.
Well, yeah, that was years ago, but it doesn't happen as much now because thank God we can look most of that up right real time.
Oh, that's great. Yeah.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. But I guess my point is, it's the opioid problem in this country is bad. I don't know who's to blame.
Yeah.
I think everyone needs to do a better job, and the doctors too. So anyway, and I think medical marijuana, I joke about it with you a lot, but it really, like a person like this who's looking for something different, who doesn't want to go down that route, I think that's definitely a route to look into.
Definitely. Definitely. Yeah. At least research, heavily research, you know what I mean? Because it's, it's like it can be a lifelong thing, you know. That's this, you know. Once you start with medical marijuana, it's part of your life. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So you research that and see if that's a good fit for you, you know. And like I said, the dosage, man, is pretty crazy. And there's nothing that I can even recommend. All I can say is start low because people are so individual. You know, a dose for me is like would be an astronomical dose for like my wife. You know what I mean? So it's like you can't. You really got to start low, I could say. And don't eat like an entire like fucking brownie, okay? Get capsules, get the pills. Just get capsules, pills, you know, have the dose already regulated pretty well. Because, man, when you start getting into like the edibles, like Rice Krispie squares and stuff, those things are way, way heavily more dosed than you would ever than they claim. I can tell you that right now.
Oh shit!
Yeah, they're wild, man. They will take you out for about a week.
I guess if you forgot you're eating something with something in it, you yeah. keep eating them, you're going to be pretty messed up.
Well, I can only imagine they're delicious. Like, how right. can, how can you screw up a Fruity Pebbles Rice Krispie square? You know what I mean? Jesus Christ. Yeah. This is like the greatest thing ever. But, yeah, man. Yeah, geez, opioids.
That's a whole bad deal. That's a terror. I hate that topic. Yeah. It's a no-win situation, really. It's you got people. It's a tough one, man. But anyway, that was just a tangent because it made me think about something.
Yeah. All right, Doc, I'm going to tackle this next question. It is a little bit longer, and I'm going to summarize where I can, but I'm just going to rip through this one, all right? this is from the boards, and, you know, I was thinking about, like, just summarizing it, you know, but it looks like you took a lot of time and effort to put this on the boards for us, so I'm going to go ahead and just read it off, all right? Hey, docs, I just got my results from TRT blood tests I ordered privately. I only had testosterone and basic hormone levels tested before starting an Ostarine cycle, adding TRT and then increasing a testosterone dose so don't have baseline values. I was wondering if you could give me a second or third opinion. I'm 38, 39 next March, 5'11", 198, somewhere between 15 to 20% body fat. Despite a good listening to a lot of good advices on the podcast, I've kind of rushed into things since finding out I had low test. I was above the bottom of the normal range, and I didn't qualify for TRT on the National Health Service here in UK, so started Ostarine cycle. Shortly after, I found a company that offers TRT privately and signed up. Part of the appeal of Ostarine was that was to see if I could improve the amount of joint pain I had due to poor posture. I was hoping for some mild gains despite consistent weight training for 4 years. Had little muscle to show for it, although it is meant to take a while to kick in from day one. I felt stronger and my joints have improved a lot. After submitting two tests showing low test, I was prescribed the following: 125 milligrams of Sustanon, 250 every 5 to 7 days, Proviron 25 milligrams AMPM, and 0.5 milligrams of Arimidex every 3 to 4 days. That's what they recommended.
I like that.
Yeah. I like that too, actually. I was like Proviron, huh? Like,
yeah.
They're so flexible in the UK. He says, I started this on the 13th of July, and after seeing further gains and feeling a lot better, I decided to increase the dose to 250 Sustanon every 5 days. Seemed like a waste to only use half a vial. Since then, I've moved to 500 milligrams a week by supplementing my prescription with further Sustanon 250. I ordered. He says I ordered Organon to match my prescription. So that's good. Over there, it's legal to possess, so it's not a big deal. I know Scott and Vijay have recommended Pure Sus on their podcast. We have not recommended jack shit. We're just saying that we know that certain people have tried it and have enjoyed it. So
yeah,
that's all I can say about it. But I stopped the Ostarine cycle at 12 weeks at 25 milligrams on the day of the test. The test looked good in general. Testosterone was at the top normal range. So he's at what I was at the natty range. He's 1154. I think I was like 1178 or something like that.
I know. You're a freak.
He says, but I have enlarged red blood cells and high prolactin levels. So out of a range of 86 to 324, he's a 484. I don't have any sides, but would you recommend taking action on these? If so, what? So let's tackle that.
So enlarged red blood cells, I don't know what he means by that.
Me neither.
I think he means maybe his MCV is elevated.
Yeah. I think that's probably what he means.
So I'll say this, if you're not anemic and you're polycythemic, meaning you have really high hemoglobin or really low hemoglobin and hematocrit, I would probably just keep a close eye on that. Maybe I'm assuming he's talking about an elevated in his indices like MCV, and not telling me that he's actually got high hemoglobin. It's hard to decipher. Enlarged red blood cells. To me, that sounds like a size thing as opposed to a quantitative thing like numbers. Like, So I would say if it's strictly just that, I would just keep an eye on your hemoglobin, hematocrit, maybe take a look at some other things. And I just mentioned this on another question, things like B12, folic acid, You know, those are the kind of things you would look at that would make you have that type of scenario with an anemia. But that part, I would, as long as the other stuff looks good, I wouldn't be overly concerned about that. Assuming you're not telling me that your hemoglobin, hematocrit are elevated. This, okay, so that's what I'm going to leave it at that. I wouldn't be overly concerned if everything else looks good. High prolactin levels. Okay. Nothing he's taking, you could correct me if I'm wrong, really should affect his prolactin per se. Mm. So
the osterine could. Just the osterine.
It could. Yeah. Okay. Yep. So see, I'm not going to sit here and say I'm an expert on osterine. But aside from that, if that continues to be elevated, I would definitely look into, you know, pituitary issues, considering that you do have low natural testosterone, right? That's why he's on replacement. Because pituitary adenomas can affect all that, which is a small benign tumor. Pituitary. It can cause hyperprolactinemia. It could cause us to have testosterone problems. It could cause us to have thyroid problems. Basically anything that comes from your pituitary, that affect it. So I would say if you get off the osterine, if you're still on it, and you're just on your baseline testosterone, proviron, and ostrazole, and your number still looks high, I would absolutely talk to someone about that, because it could be a pituitary microadenoma. At least you get that evaluated. That's just my opinion. This is, you know, just information. I'm not telling you what to do, but that's my thoughts.
Doc, he's got like several files. Were you able to open any of these? I'm having trouble opening.
I tried to open on my phone and it was blank, and I think it's coming up blank again.
Yeah, I'm trying to. I can't seem to open them.
No. Yeah, I had the same problem. Actually, I'm doing it again right now just to double check.
You know what? I'm trying to open it in. Yeah, it doesn't. It opened in Word. Here we go.
See, I couldn't open it on my phone or my laptop. So I can't see it. I'm just basically going on his little blurb that he gave us there. I don't know. It's coming up blank. I don't know why it's doing that. So,
it's a page description.
Let
me read this out to you. It's pretty interesting, actually. I've opened up the page and. It's like a note from his doctor almost, like it's like a written summary almost. But it, all it says, I thought where I was looking to look open is going to be blood work. It's a summary. So this is actually notes from his doctor. He says, you have normal red, white, and clotting cells. Your red blood cells appear enlarged and are reduced in number.
So it sounds like he may have an anemia. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If that's the case, I would definitely follow up with that.
Mm-hmm. He says this can be caused by deficiency B vitamins, thyroid, liver, also by alcohol. Recommended check if you have. But he didn't say anything about anemia. But you're definitely correct. I would definitely check.
There's the answer. He's worried. He sounds like he has what we would call a megaloblastic anemia, which is consistent with usually B12 and folic acid deficiency. Based on that, he has low hemoglobin and high MCV. Really. I agree with his doctor on that. See, I can't read this. It's coming up blank.
I know. I'm trying to read it here for you. He says, you have normal protein and iron levels. Normal. Your cholesterol is excellent.
And that makes sense because if you had low iron, your blood cells would be small.
Small, right. Yeah, exactly. Your cholesterol is excellent with healthy levels of protective HDL, so that's good. Thyroid is normal. Awesome. Your testosterone result is very high. If you're using gel and took the blood from the finger used to apply the gel, this may have a false reading. If you are using supplementation to raise your testosterone, I suggest you decrease your serum. He says your prolactin level is elevated. A common cause for this stress is some medications. It can also be caused increased by high levels of exercise and the use of supplements that raise testosterone. If you are experiencing problems such as visual upset discharge, production of milk from the tits. He actually wrote tit. I'm just kidding. He didn't say tits. He said milk, milk from the breasts. Then this results should be discussed with your GP. If you are not experiencing these symptoms, then repeat the test 12 weeks. Those are actually good.
I think that's solid advice.
And then he said your prostate results is normal. So that's all pretty excellent. Whoever wrote this, that's great advice. I'm going
to – right along the lines. That's right along the lines of what I was saying. I would check it again. If it's normal, don't worry about it. If it's not, you probably need to get checked for a microadenoma, which is what he would, all those symptoms he was talking about is what he's alluding to.
Yeah, you know, I'm but 85% positive it's the Ostarine. He was using Ostarine for 12 weeks. Ostarine has, for an oral, it has a relatively long half-life, so you want to, you know, compounded things, you know, for it to get out of your system. If you've been taking it 12 weeks, you can expect it to take another few weeks to actually get out of your system. Just because, you know, with the long half-life of an oral, that kind of cascades in the next day, into the next day. You're taking it every day, and you're further pushing along that half-life, you know? So he says he stopped the Ostarine and then got blood work done, but that doesn't mean that it was out of his system.
The effects may have still been there.
He's still going to have some sort of that Ostarine is still technically clearing out. So I'm pretty sure that's the result of his prolactin levels.
Yeah, see, like I said, I can't sit here and lie and say that I'm perfectly versed on all the side effects of Ostarine. And
your answer was probably the best, because your answer was preventative in nature, and yeah, you definitely should. I mean, keep an eye on that, because that could definitely be an adenoma, you know?
No doubt. But I will tell you this. Your doctor is pretty thorough, and I think that's awesome. He wrote all that stuff out. That's pretty neat. And all his stuff I would agree with. He's right on. I mean, it sounds like you got a good doc. And you know what? Being that this was one of the longest questions we've ever had, I will say it turned out to be a fun one, though. I mean, it's pretty good. This is good. This is good stuff.
I'm not done yet, Doc. There's more.
Oh, Jesus.
It's just a little more, He says, I'm still new to all this, and although I do a lot of research, I value your thoughts. I've attached the TRT results, so we already went over that. And he says, I'm currently taking 250 milligrams of SUST Monday and Thursday, Proviron and the anastrozole every day. And then he lists his supplements. So he's taking like just regular ass supplements, vitamin pack, vitamin D, omega-3s, which is – those are all excellent, by the way. Those are great things to be taking. And I think he's just kind of including those to see if that had anything to do maybe with his prolactin, but no, I doubt it.
I don't think so. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would just
in fact, agree with the doctor. In fact, if you took a bunch of B6, that would decrease that prolactin quite a bit. But I'm thinking that's what it is, Doc. Let's take one more from the boards here, Doc, and then we may have to call it a day. We're running a little long.
Look. Jump up two questions, and we can knock these two out.
How did I miss these? And you even said that at the beginning of the show. Yeah,
you know what? I think you did the right thing by covering his, because his was the longest, and it is thorough, and it was a really good question with lots of cool information. Yeah. I think we could all learn something from that. So, that's good. We'll just jump back up. Then just go up two.
Yeah, he's got a good doctor, man. I'm impressed.
I can't believe he wrote all that. That's Jesus, good. He probably didn't get paid. I guarantee he didn't get paid after doing that.
He took the time to do that. It's great.
That's freebie. That's a free. He's doing that. He's probably doing that at home every night.
Yeah, nice.
After hours.
Good doctor. Keep him. Next question here from the boards. Hey, guys, I love the show. Here's my situation. Due to my work schedule, I can only work out at 5 a.m., I'm not a morning person, and it takes a while for me to get going. So I take a pre-workout right when I wake up. I have had ADD all my life, and I was prescribed a 30 milligrams of Vyvanse?
Yes.
Vyvanse? Okay, by my doctor, and it's been amazing for my focus. It helps me in my work, school, and even small things like being able to hold a conversation. Wow, that's great. I feel the physical effects about 3 hours after taking it, and it makes me very energized and stimulated. I take it at 9:30 a.m., and it usually peaks 3 hours later. Problem is I can't fall asleep until much later than I normally do, and the lack of sleep is definitely affecting me. My doctor said I need to take the Vyvanse at 5 a.m. in order to make sure I can fall asleep. I'm concerned about taking the Vyvanse in my pre-workout at the same time in regards to heart rate and just being extremely overstimulated. I want to take the Vyvanse earlier so my sleep doesn't suffer. However, I still want to take a pre-workout so my workouts don't suffer. Am I I am not over or underweight. I just love the train. I'm in a conundrum. Any advices? I've never heard of this medication, Doc. What is it?
Vyvanse is basically a reformulated you know, your typical ADD amphetamine type medicine. The key to it, though, is that it's pretty long acting and that it has sort of peaks and valley releases. And their first original, when it came out, one of their big things was it's hard to abuse.
Oh, good.
So you don't get a real big punch. Yeah, you don't get a real big punch of sort of amphetamine type stuff like if you did Adderall. You know, or Ritalin, the ones like that, you don't get those. So it's really hard to abuse. I think that's one of the big, but it's just a long acting, basically kind of Adderall-ish type medicine. It's just a newer one.
Sounds safer.
It's one of the newer, well, I wouldn't call it new now, but you know, 15 years, maybe 12 years. I don't know. You know, I remember when it came out, but so there you go. And I remember maybe like 07-ish, 08-ish. Yeah. I remember getting talked to about that by a rep. So anyway, very common. 30 milligrams actually is, that's not a super high dose that he's taking either. He just takes 30 once a day, right?
That's it. Yeah. 9:30 a.m.
Yeah. That's not even a super high dose. I think that's a starting dose, to be honest. I've had people up to, like 70, you know, things like that. But, so long story short is, so one of the things I was thinking about was, if it's giving him problem sleeping, I would agree with his doctor to flip it back a little earlier, but he wants to take his pre-workout. So I guess my question is, what's his goal by taking a pre-workout? If he's doing it just for a pump, maybe he could take his Vyvanse pre-workout with a non-stimulant pre-workout.
But I mean, if it doesn't kick in for 3 hours, if there's a 3 hour lag, then
right, yeah.
Then so it really matter a whole lot? I mean, by the time the pre-workout clears,
That's the other thing I was going to say.
Yeah.
The other thing is, if you've been on this for a long time and you're not walking around wigging out, heart rate high, I hate to say this, but if you had a low dose of caffeine pre-workout in your pre-workout, you know, I don't think that's going to be a problem before you train. Even if you move your Vyvanse back so you can get better sleep.
Mm-hmm.
So I think either one of those would be acceptable. I mean, listen, if you were, let's say a big time coffee drinker and you're on Vyvanse, I'm not going to tell you can't drink coffee. You know, you can't have the interaction. So, I think if his issue is he's afraid to take a pre-workout because of the stimulant with the stimulant, I would say as long as it's not a freaky high, you know, stimulant one, I think he'd be okay. I think he'd be fine, to be honest. But I would maybe consider, like I said, even maybe a non-stimulant one. So that's basically what I was
thinking. Yeah, it's all goals. I mean, you could get something like all you want is a pump, you know, you could get like Cell MPA Sups Selvol, I think is one.
Mm-hmm. It's
non-stimulant and it's a great product, you know.
The other option, and this would kind of be going backwards in care. And I don't know this guy's history. I don't know his age. I don't know his medical history. So we're just going on basically what we're asked. You're right.
Mm-hmm.
You could go to consider talking to your doctor about a short acting medication. So where you have maybe like a Ritalin, to where it's only going to last during the times you need it. I don't know, 3 to 5 hours of your work schedule, or your school schedule when you need to focus. But I mean, I do like Vyvanse. I think it's a great medicine. So, I mean, I personally would stay on that. I would probably, this is just me. This is not medical advice. I'm just saying what I would do. I probably would drink my pre-workout and take my Vyvanse.
Yeah.
As long as the pre-workout didn't have 1,000 milligrams, you know, 500 milligrams of caffeine and theacrine and DMA.
I would stay away from something that had DMA.
I mean, I'm talking about basic stuff here. Caffeine, some citrulline, a basic, good, decent pre-workout. I don't think he'd have a problem. I would just move the Vyvanse back or try to move it back and do a non-stimulant and see how it goes.
Yeah, non-stimulants are great. Through Bodybuilding Nerds Radio, we like to use Scott, when he's not wanting something with DMA, he would like to use a product called Vasofactor from Gia Labs. The only stimulant it has in it is caffeine, and it's a lower compared to what else is on the market now. It's definitely lower dose, and it's great, man. And it'll be in and out of your system pretty quick. By the time it's cleared, the Vyvanse will be kicking in, you know. So there shouldn't be that much of a crossover.
Yeah, and then they'll both be out of your system, you know, before you have to go to sleep again, and hopefully your sleep will be better. I mean, I think that's probably a safe thing to do. I mean, yeah. I don't think he'd have a problem. As long as he doesn't have any underlying heart problems, palpitations, atrial fibrillation, you know.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
I'm sure he does. I'm sure he doesn't.
I hope not. he should have told us if so, you know.
Yeah, no, but and you know, when we put people on ADHD medicines, at least for children, at least I do, I always do a baseline EKG to make sure there's no electrical abnormalities.
Right. Yeah, good. Great. You're such a good doctor. I wish.
I just do what I was taught.
Yeah, it
makes it easy when you don't when you do that.
Yeah, you're like a textbook. You're like autopilot. You know, when you're at work.
I mean, I just do what I read, man. I just do what I was taught to do. I don't stray from the normal. I do what I was taught to do.
Yeah.
And and usually that keeps you in the safe zone. You know.
Yeah. Yeah, man. I don't know. I think he's fine. If you're gonna get the Geolabs VasoFactor, use our code BNR20, save you 20% off, and it's a great product. You think you'll really enjoy it? Otherwise, Selvol non-stimulant, and also a great product. No code. I don't have any codes.
Yeah, no codes from that. But I can tell you that I actually love that product. It's really good. Tastes great too. That's the problem. I wanted to drink it like just for a drink. Like, can I kill myself with too much? I'm proud of that. I find that I'm that way. You know what? I might have to quit this show because I get to talking and I start to say shit. I'm like that with some of the pre-workouts I take. I got this. It's got green apple and it's really tasty.
There you go.
I'll drink it. And I'm like, God, I want some more of that. It tasted so good. But I'm like, well, if I take more, I'm going to probably have atrial fibrillation. I can't drink more.
Doc, do you have, I mean, we're in Michigan here. It is just rich with apple orchards everywhere. Do you guys have apple orchards like all over Delaware?
Yeah.
You do?
No, not all over. We have we have some in Pennsylvania that are really close, like Milburn orchards. Things like that.
I'm surprised. Yeah. You would love that place. Everything's apple flavored.
I know. I don't know. I usually don't go places though, except for football fields.
Yeah.
My life is
forking out the cash so the kids can go play. That's what it is.
My life is home, gym, football field,
yeah,
home,
yeah.
Until four. That is basketball court. Then, you know, that's my life.
And lacrosse field.
Lacrosse now, yeah. And work. Dad, where's Dad? Oh, he's at work. Oh, good. He's at work. Keep going, Dad.
Yeah.
Right. Dad, you work today? No, I'm off. Damn it.
You're so selfless. You're a selfless parent. Yep.
Yeah, someone's got to do it.
I know.
I'm just.
That's why we have no kids, man. I can't do that shit. I'm like, nut. Get the shit out of here. I got to buy a new guitar here in a couple of days. You can not play football.
I got to say, it makes me I'm blessed that I can do that.
My wife
doesn't have to work.
Yeah.
My kids are happy. They got what they need, and I just suffer for it. But I'm good.
Team Ogden, man. That's what it's all about.
That's what the head coach does, right?
Yeah. That's what you got to do. You got to take one for the team, man. Right? The team can prosper. Yeah, one more question, Doc. One more question. I think it'll be a quick one here. Hey, Docs, love the show. Thanks for taking the time for my question. I'm 46 years old, 188 pounds, 15% body fat with 3 years of training natural. I recently had blood work done. My test levels came back at 370. My doctor stated it's not low enough to start TRT. Since the beginning of this year, I had felt symptoms of low test, especially libido, fatigue, and sometimes dizziness. My doctor dismissed the symptoms except the dizziness, which he prescribed meclizine? Okay. Meclizine 25 milligrams. I took it twice, and it just made me drowsy and sleepy. I would appreciate your suggestions. Thanks, Doc.
Not sure what – so 370. Listen, we say this all the time. It depends, right? Technically, on a lab report, that's still in a normal range. But listen, if you're a guy who was like Veej and had a normal 1,000 10 years ago, you know, test level, and now you're 370, sure, it's going to cause symptoms. But I can't argue with your doctor because, you know, we do have to practice within guidelines sometimes.
Yeah.
There's a lot, you know, you don't want to get yourself in trouble, but you wouldn't probably with that anyway because that is pretty low and you got symptoms. So really, when it comes to prescribing medicines, you know, labs are labs and we have to have that, but you know, really symptoms, you could prescribe based on symptoms if your doc chose to, but he probably doesn't feel comfortable with that because to him, that's normal. And some guys are, or gals, you know, physicians are you know, X is X. You know, it's inside the lines, it's outside the lines. I'm not going to mess with it, and that's their choice, I guess. It's their license. But yeah, I mean, I guess it could. I would agree that dizziness doesn't usually. Dizziness isn't, at least from my standpoint, the dizziness that you must have been to. So let's talk. I'm a real quick dizziness. When a patient says to me, "Doc, I'm dizzy," I have to ask, "What do you mean by that?" Mm-hmm. And now, you know, everyone's saying, looking at me like right now, they can't look at me, but they can hear me, and they're like, "What do you mean dizziness? Come on, we all know what dizziness is." No, no, we're not really.
No, not at all.
Because you can have what's like, you could have dizziness, the term dizziness, but it could mean presyncope, meaning that every time I stand up, it looks like the lights are going to go out in Georgia.
Sure.
It looks like I'm sweaty, the room's getting black, like I'm going to faint. That's one type of dizziness. That would be probably vasovagal syncope, in other words, you know, things like that, a cardiogenic problem. And then there's dizziness, which means, Doc, every time I turn my head in bed, the room spins.
Vestibular, cochlear, yeah.
Right. We call that vertigo.
Mm-hmm.
That's vertigini. That's vertiginous dizziness. So that's different. So to me, you must have been having some spinning type off-balance dizziness because your doctor chose to use meclizine. Meclizine is, to make a long story short, it's an old antihistamine. The other name for it is called antivert.
Mm.
And we use that to treat vertigini, vertigo symptoms, motion sickness, things like that. The big side effect that's terrible is it does make people go to sleep. It's like Benadryl. I mean, you probably could treat vertigo with over-the-counter Benadryl if you knew it. And in fact, I think meclizine might be over-the-counter, to be honest. I can't remember. We give prescriptions, but I'm pretty sure. So, long story short is, I'm not sure about your dizziness issue being related to your testosterone, but at 370, if you're having low libido, fatigue, as long as if you've gotten everything else ruled out, it still could be that. And I mean, you might want to look into a more, what's the word I'm looking for? You know, like a specific HRT clinic.
Yes.
They may be more willing to treat that 370.
I wasn't going to be my suggestion. Definitely.
Yeah, go ahead.
Private lab. Go to a private, not a private lab, private clinic. All right. You will get prescribed for sure. You might have to pay out of pocket for that first initial consult, and then you submit to your insurance. They may take care of it. They may not, but, definitely, that probably going to be your best option. As far as dizziness goes, I love what the doc says. He's probably right, but I just want to mention one more thing. That all could be diet-related also, because blood sugars can go wacky. He's 15% body fat. We don't know. He's only been training 3 years, so I can promise you he's not a whiz with his diet yet, you know?
Shit, I'm not a whiz with my diet. I don't think I'll ever be.
Shit, I'm 22 years deep, and I'm just now starting to get it.
you figured out you only need McDonald's.
Yeah, I just need KFC and McDonald's from time to time.
KFC, weed, and McDonald's.
That's the formula.
Shredded, jacked, and hard.
I'll be a pro in no time. But, I don't know what the diet's like, but dizziness, people with blood sugar issues complain of dizziness all the time.
I got off on a tangent about the dizziness issue.
Yeah.
But.
So who knows? I don't know the depth of his knowledge as far as training and nutrition goes. But nutrition, as far as I've seen, a lot of the times, man, it's 50% of the time it's nutrition related. Before it becomes, you know, something like vestibular cochlear or something like that, you know, or syncope. although I have seen that. I have seen that. Vertigo, developing vertigo on a diet. It's crazy.
Well, you know, the most common cause is a viral thing. And then there's also some other issues, you know, you can have little crystals inside your semicochlear, you know, inside your cochlear, the fluid in your ear can sort of crystallize. And so you move your head and your body doesn't know whether you're moving or if that little crystal's moving, thinks you're on a roller coaster. But generally it's viral labyrinthitis. And some people just have chronic vertigo, and you could have Meniere's disease, which is a whole nother, a trio of symptoms that people come in with, which are pretty easy to diagnose. But long story short is, I agree with I think a private, you know, if everything else looks good on blood work and that's your 370 and you're feeling like shit, you may have to pay out of pocket, but there's there's plenty of places that would probably entertain that.
Definitely. Definitely. You know,
yeah. I mean, there's, you just might have to pay for it. It's simple as that. I mean, it is, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it. Oh, there was one more thing I wanted to say about that, and now I totally forgot.
I cut you off.
No. It was goddamn weed. I just vaped, so.
Yeah, you're getting that encephalopathy.
Oh man, it's gonna get me one day. You know, might as well be now.
But yeah, you'll be like.
But man, that inner ear, that was like the worst thing for me to study, because like the inner ear and the vestibular cochlear apparatus is like. It's like alien technology.
It's crazy, isn't
it's
it?
It's fucking crazy. I still don't quite understand it. I understood it enough so I could pass an exam. But yeah. I can explain the shit out of protein breakdown and carbohydrates and fat absorption all day long. But the inner ear stuff is literally an alien apparatus. Like it's an amazing system, man.
You know
amazing.
What I thought was really fascinating when we did our gross anatomy, when we were dissecting the head and we got into the inner ear and mm-hmm. we got, you know, in there, and you know how you look at the anatomy book and they talk about the stapes, the incus and malleus, and you look at them and they're actual little bones and you're like, come on, are they really like that?
They're
in
so
head?
Small and they're so important.
And they're really like that.
They can fuck you up bad.
But they're freaking miniature, but they're perfect little. What they look like, if you Google stapes, incus, and malleus,
yes, yeah,
they'll show pictures on Google, except they're so microscopically small, but they're perfectly shaped. It's fucking amazing,
yeah.
Ain't it?
Yeah. The malleus, I think the malleus actually looks like a hammer. Actually looks like a hammer. It's pretty crazy.
It's like that's constructed from a high or something for sure.
See, that's what I'm trying to say. It's like those three tiny little bones that, I mean –
was really amazing when I
like
saw
if
that.
You like, were taking a bite into a piece of chicken and there was like those little tiny bones, like a malleus, incus, or a stapes in there, you would just keep chewing because it wouldn't be like, oh, it was a little tiny bone, I'm just gonna keep chewing and swallow. But man, they are small as shit. They really are, and they're so important. One of those goes haywire and you basically can't stand up for the rest of your life.
You got ringing in your ear. You can't stand up. You're going deaf.
But you're fucking vomiting every 10 minutes.
Yeah. I think that was one of the coolest things.
Alien.
When you learn about stuff in a gross anatomy, and then when you get to dissect and you actually see little shit like that, you're like, that is real.
Yeah.
Like it's in my head.
Yeah, man.
Fucking crazy shit, isn't it? That's so cool. That was so cool. I remember looking at them going, holy shit, they look just like the paper, except they're
minuscule.
Except they're like 1 millimeter.
Yeah, they're even smaller than what you see in the textbooks. They're like crazy.
Yeah.
It's nuts, man. Yeah, that whole system is amazing. I'm probably going to have to just vape up and try to restudy it.
Semicircular canals. And when you look at them in dissection, they really look like what they look like almost like a conch shell. And you're like, that's. It's crazy, dude. Yeah, that's interesting.
Unreal. That
all
whole system.
That tucked right in your little behind your little ear right there.
People have that. That's why when you get hit in the ear, you get fucked up so bad.
Yeah, there's a lot of shit going on back there in there.
Yeah, man. That's crazy. Doc, that's it for Clinical Muscle this week. We do have a bunch more questions and we will tackle them next time, but we are going long here. What do you got the rest of it? We got your Eagles, who do they play today? You said it was
We're Monday Night Football.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
I gotta check the Lions schedule because I don't even know that they play today. They may have a bye.
I think they're on a bye.
Yeah.
Yeah, I looked this morning. I didn't see them on the list.
Yeah. Shit, I'm going to watch probably whatever's on TV, I guess. Probably the Vikings. Yeah. Around here, they'll do Vikings or they'll do Green Bay or, you know, if the Lions aren't on, so.
Yeah, we'll usually – it'll just be the Fox game of the week or whatever. And unless the Ravens are home, maybe they'll put them on one of the other channels. And
because you're
pretty
close.
Close to the Ravens, yeah. There's a lot of Ravens fans here in Delaware too.
Yeah, that's how it is over here. We got we'll pick up games. We'll pick up like Browns games, Cincinnati games, you know, just because of where we're at, you know. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we don't ever get the Bears. They like it's like they skip over Illinois altogether, go straight to Minnesota and Green Bay. we don't fuck with Illinois. No Illinois. Uh-huh. Michigan and Illinois are enemies. I think that's why. But that's it, Doc. I've got to get. I got to cook some breakfast for my wife. Just give her breakfast in bed, and then
and then
it's training time. I got to get to the gym. I actually have to go physically to the gym today. It's kind of a bummer, but I have to.
You need a good workout, though.
Oh, yeah.
When you haven't been there for a while.
It's just I've got to get some hamstring training done, and I can do it at the house, but I just kind of want to be lazy with it. I just want to do some leg curls, you know? I don't want to have to.
Yeah, the variety's a little different.
So that's what's on the docket here for me, Doc, and that's it. And we are out. The doctors are out.
See ya.